Hello, and welcome to Knock Off Drinks with a Difference. I'm your host, Amy Armstrong, passionate non-alcoholic expert and sober socialite. Grab your favorite glass of non-alcoholic wine and join me on the couch for a chat about all things alcohol-free.
I've poured myself a beautiful glass of Altered Spirits Silver Princess with a beautiful light tonic, and it's just delightful. I'm having a spirits week because I'm doing a non-alcoholic distilled spirits tasting on Sunday in Melbourne, which I am very excited about. So I've been tasting delicious craft-made spirits all week and learning about them all. And yes, fully prepared for Sunday and just enjoying this. So refreshing. Now, I had a big plan for what I was going to sit and have a chat to you about this afternoon, and that's all gone out the window because life has a funny way of interrupting you at times. And so what I've decided to talk to you about today instead is stress. Now, I'm in a fairly stressful situation, and that's a situation that has been going on for a long time now, and I've been dealing with it for a long time. And just when you think things are flying along, something comes and bites you in the bum. So I won't go into details because it's not really my story to tell, but needless to say, my husband, Zeb, has been in hospital. Well, he had been in hospital. He was in hospital for about 7 weeks and has been home here for about a week and a half. He came home and everything seemed to be going good, but things have just deteriorated. And he now needs to go back into hospital. So that's all just kind of happened this morning and really put a spanner in the works. I'm going overseas in just over a week. We've obviously got our daughter who needs taken care of and was very glad to have her dad back. But, yeah, there's not a place for him at the hospital. So we're just going to have to play this week by ear and see how things go. But what is a massive thing for me in times of stress, and this has been a long play stress. This is, you know, this hospital stay has been the result of a couple of years worth of stuff going on with him, is I just always think every single time, I am so glad I am not drinking anymore. So glad. Because if I was, I honestly don't know where I would be. I can't even imagine how much worse this already very stressful situation would be. And it's just so insane to me that alcohol is perceived and used by so many of us, and, you know, was used by me for years as a remedy for stress. Had a stressful day, have a drink. Stressed out, have a drink. Shit going on, have a drink. And like, I get it. I mean, I used it myself for a long time. It makes the stress, you forget about the stress disappears. Everything's all okay for that brief window when you're drinking, but unfortunately it doesn't last forever and real life comes crashing back down on your head very quickly the next morning. And it's often a sore head that it's landing on. And Annie Grace, when I did the alcohol experiment, Annie Grace had a really wonderful way of making this, you know, explaining this really, really simply. It's like using alcohol for stress is like putting a Band-Aid on a festering sore. Like, it covers it up momentarily, but, you know, underneath that sore is just getting pussier and oozier and worse. And you've really got to get to the root problem and treat the cause and deal with the festering sore rather than just covering it up. As triggering as situations like this one that I'm in today can be, and I actually did have to go, I did have to go in amongst all of this to get mixes for my tasting on Sunday, and I had to go to the big name bottle shop because I couldn't get what I needed at the supermarket. And that was a bit like, oh, how easy would it be to just grab a bottle of wine? I just know deep down inside, I know now that trying to drown these feelings of stress and anxiety out with wine is just not the answer. And it doesn't really get you anywhere. I mean, stress is really the reason why my drinking escalated over the past, well, before I decided to stop. I found that drinking to cope with the stresses of new motherhood, a massive thing. And that just went up and up and up, and the stresses of work and relationship stuff, it all just ended up being made worse by drinking, because I was drinking because I was stressed, and then I was getting grouchy when I was drunk. I was making situations worse, and none of the stress was actually being dealt with. So it's really amazing now, 2 years into being completely alcohol free, to be able to actually sit with the feelings, process the feelings, coach myself through them, work on strategies for dealing with the stress. It makes you so much more capable of dealing with life, and I'm so eternally grateful for that. So if you're on the borderline, on the precipice and looking for reasons to drink less or give up drinking altogether, this is it. Like, being able to face life's stresses and deal with the ups and downs and actually deal with them rather than avoiding them is such a key thing to come out of not drinking for me. So can't recommend it highly enough.
Okay, so this week I have been planning out my non-alcoholic spirits tasting event that's happening on Sunday in Melbourne. And while I've been doing this, I've had an awful lot of questions come in about the price of non-alcoholic spirits and why they cost so much when they've got no alcohol in them and therefore no tax. And I know my answer to this, but I decided to get an expert in to help me explain this better and have a chat about it. So I'd like to welcome Tim Triggs of Altered Spirits from Sydney to join me on the couch to have a chat about the price of non-alc spirits. Hey, Tim.
Yeah. Hello. Hello, Amy. Hello. Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. So why are we paying $50 a bottle for what's essentially water?
Yeah, believe it or not, I've been asked that question before. I've been asked that question quite a few times. That question is pretty much number two. The first question I always get without a doubt is, what's the point? You know, I'm sure everyone's pretty familiar with that one. But the price, yeah, it's a common question, and I get it too. Like, it at first glance, you know, I think non-alcoholic spirits and excise, you know, it seems to make sense. Why aren't they cheaper? But for me anyway, and I can't speak for everyone, but I'll give you, I guess, the main things that I think are why they are what they are. And the first important point is, like, what is it, right? So what is a non-alc spirit? And there are actually kind of two schools, if you want, or two types of spirit. And I know you know this, but one I like to kind of coin big cordial, you know. They're the large kind of groups, and essentially what they're doing is adding flavors and a lot of sugar in most cases to water, and they taste great, don't get me wrong, and the branding is killer, you know. I say it respectfully, but essentially it is a cordial, and I tend to agree maybe that the price is a little bit expensive for that kind of product, especially at the scale that some of those guys are doing it. But
I like again, that big cordial. I'm taking that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. But that's kind of what it is. Like, it's that's what that drink is. If you know, you look at how that's made. That's a cordial recipe. There's no other way to kind of put that. It's a very fancy one, but it is big cordial. So that's kind of one group, right? There's no distillation involved. There's no regionality to the botanicals. There's no interaction with the producers of the raw ingredients, you know, none of that, you know. And that's kind of exactly what we do, and that's the other side of it, and lots of brands like us who do all those things. And that's what makes ours, I would argue, way more special and, yeah, more expensive. Like at Altered, for example, you know, we source, distill in copper pots over 20 up to 25 different native Australian botanicals. All of them are sourced from around the country, local producers, many of which are Indigenous owned and operated companies. You know, we're very much about supporting local businesses. You know, we're into the ethical growth of the, you know, Australian wild foods category in general. So that is a really important distinction between the two, and not just the fact that we're using real botanicals, but the second kind of thing is that making a non-alk spirit is actually really different and more expensive to do than making a regular spirit. Like one, for example, where the amount of botanicals we use in a non-alk spirit, and again, I can't remember everyone, but in Altered, we use an absolute boatload of botanicals to make our drinks. You know, I actually work in a gin distillery. They make great award-winning gin. Shout out to Mobius. And Phil, the head distiller there, you know, he's wrote a book on gin and the relative ratios and things that you should use. Like, it's not even in the ballpark of non-alk. We use a lot. So the sheer number of botanicals adds quite a lot of cost. Then the second part to it is that the way to process these raw botanicals using just water is totally different kettle of fish than using alcohol. I think, you know, to the untrained eye, like, it sounds easier, but it actually brings a whole bunch of complexity that alcohol distillers, they don't need to worry about. You know, alcohol as a solvent is great. You know, it helps the oils and the compounds in plants and the flavor molecules spread out throughout that solution. But water and oil don't mix well at all, obviously, you know. So trying to get the right note from a botanical without cooking the bejesus out of it, without, you know, selling people oil in a bottle, like, it's actually really tricky. So again, for us, you know, we're using 20 different botanicals in each spirit. You know, there's over 6 botanicals, so quite a bit of processing goes into that, and yeah, it's not a cheap exercise.
When you talk about the ratios of the botanicals compared to the alcoholic gin, like, how much more are you talking? You're talking like double or like quadruple or like even more than that?
Yeah. Way more. I would say it's like 5 to 10 times the amount of botanicals. You know, the amount of botanicals and the ratio of, say, juniper to coriander in a gin recipe, it's a very personal thing, right? Everyone will do their own thing. And same for us with Altered. But, you know, for some botanicals, like one of our strawberry gum, that plant is super oily, and even the way that comes off the still, like, the way to think about non-alk, I think, which helps maybe people appreciate the cost of what we're doing, is it's essentially like making essential oils. some of those are, you know, like, you look how much botanical you need to make a few drops of oil, like, it's significant. But in this case, we're not making the oil. We're actually trying to extract the water component. And it's not just about the aromatics, it's about the flavor profile as well. Mm-hmm. So you're really on the still, and you're looking for that right cut. And you're doing that for, you know, quite a lot of botanicals. And yeah, we're doing each one individually and then trying to get that note right. So yeah, there's quite a lot of botanicals and processing that actually goes into that.
Is it hard to, because you are using, you know, so much botanical and the flavor is so dependent on the quality of the products, do you notice, like, each time you're distilling, like, say, with the floods affecting produce at the moment, like, you're having to really monitor how much you're using and adjust as you go along to get the, you know, from batch to batch to get the consistency with the flavors?
Yeah, for sure. That's a really good point. To be honest, when I started Altered Spirits 2017, I had no idea. I didn't even think about scaling. It was more about, how cool are these botanicals? Let's get this in a drink. Let's combine it with it. It was all a creative thing. I didn't know really how difficult it was going to scale these things. Like, we're using some pretty hard to source stuff, like honey myrtle, for example, in the Silver Princess, which you've got there. That is, I mean, you try and find that, that's really hard to get. I actually have to get a permit from WA to actually import a certain amount of that, and I had to sign all these declarations. And it's a really, really myrtle is, especially the honey myrtle in New South Wales, is there's a disease here, for example, that they don't want to coming to over to Perth. So It is. It has been tricky. And to be honest, with Altered not being stupid and not thinking about how to scale his business from the start, plenty of times I've sold out. Like, I just didn't have the, at the moment, for example, Pepperberry. Most gin distillers can't get their hands on Pepperberry. And that was a key driver in one of our spirits. I didn't have it. I couldn't sell it. So, yeah, there's been challenges along the way with certain things like that. I'm happy to say we've got it to a better place now and planned our production a little bit more. But, yeah, it's been a learning journey, that's for sure.
Good. All right. Well, that definitely answered the question, and I hope everyone has a bit of a better understanding and appreciation for that. So we're going to be tasting the Silver Princess on Sunday in Melbourne at the Vic Hotel in Footscray, and I can't wait for people to taste it and enjoy and learn about the great experience that is well distilled botanicals.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, amazing. Thank you. I appreciate your time. I did have one extra thought on just that non-alc thing when you mentioned it yesterday. Sorry, the price. Like, just drilling down to the numbers for a second, right? Excise tax, it's a ridiculous amount. It's like $90 a litre per spirits, which, my daughter's into the room, which is a lot, right? $90 a litre. So by the time you work that out, 40% alcohol in a gin is 700 mils, not a litre. It's about $25 is what we're talking about. So if you go to Dan Murphy's, for example, and look for a craft gin, like, how much is a craft gin? It's about $80. Some of them are 100. Like, so... It feels like the price of a lot of the gins have already factored in excise anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we get tarred with such a brush, like, oh, how dare you don't have excise. It's like, well, we're not $70. We're $50. You know what I mean? Like, and I also, I don't want to psychoanalyze myself. Maybe I'm reading into it too much, but it's also kind of a little insulting. It's like, so hold on. If the price of ours is cheaper than non-alc, what are we actually talking about, number one? And then two, like, is because we're doing non-alc not as good as alc? Are we not worthy distillers, you know? Like, I'm using the same setup as, you know, Mobius, for example, who are, you know, award-winning distillery and killing it, amazing guys. Like, I'm literally doing the exact same process pretty much for them. But with all those other complexities we talked about in terms of oils and solubility and water pHs and, you know, shelf life, all that stuff they don't have to worry about. Like, we're doing exactly the same thing, but, you know, but we shouldn't be priced accordingly. I mean, how much should we be? You know what I mean? I
think. And the funny thing in all of that is that base ethanol doesn't cost anything. Like, it's so cheap. And so cheap. That's where the consumer, or that's where we're trained to see the perceived value, isn't it? It's in that. In the alcohol.
Yeah, I know. It's cost bugger all. Yeah, I know. It's actually, like, I think the context of it too, like, if you think about non-alc, it's such a new category. And maybe 10 years ago, like, the only non-alc you could get is in Woolies, in that weird section where there's like the 70s wines and Cooper's Zero, and they cost like $1. And so people, I think, just expect non-alc to be really cheap. Well, there's, you know, you get a Kirk's lemonade, you know, case of 24 for like $3. I think that's the kind of where people think it's at. But fact of the matter is, like, now there's craft, non-alc distillers, beverage makers of all kinds, like, putting, you know, their blood, sweat and tears and creative energy into, you know, creating things that are on par with the alcoholic world. So, yeah, it's just kind of a little, I understand the question and I totally get it, you know, but really it's kind of a bit, it's a little bit insulting, I reckon. And I hope that, yeah, and I love the questions being asked, and I love to answer it, obviously, because there is a legitimate answer to this. We're not trying to rip people off. It's not like a quick buck scenario, you know. Like, I couldn't be more passionate about what I do, you know. Yeah. And I hope that people can taste the value in what we're doing compared to some of the others, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think it's an education piece, and that's part of, you know, why I do what I do, because it is important for people to get this information and to understand the differences and understand what goes into everything. And then you have that penny drop moment where you're like, oh yeah, okay. I get it. Yeah,
totally. I think, and again, like, I think people think non-alc is easy. You know, I think, and shit, for a while there, I thought it might've been easy at the very start. I thought, it's easy. And it's got harder and harder the more I learned and the more I dug into it. Actually not. It's actually really tricky. There's some major mistakes you can make. You know, we've made a couple. I'm not going to lie about that. You know, we've learned along the way. But the perception is it's easy, and it's actually not. I would argue pretty strongly that doing a non-alc is perhaps trickier, more tricky than an alcoholic one. Like, there's no recipe book for non-alc. Like, no one's written the. You can't get a PDF on Steel Dragon of, you know, how to make all types of gins. Like, everyone's got their own little way of doing it. Like, what you've got there is 5 years of me and my partners trying to figure it out ourselves, you know. So
yeah,
time and R&D has gone into it, you know. Yeah, so it's not easy, and, yeah, maybe we should charge a bit more.
Yeah, love it. Well, thank you so much for your time, Tim. That's
thanks, Amy.
Really great, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. So I hope that chat with Tim has clarified that for you. It's certainly so great to be able to chat through something like that with someone who's so passionate about what they're making and what they're doing. You will be able to taste Altered Spirits Silver Princess that I'm enjoying now on Sunday with me at the Victoria Hotel in Footscray. There's still tickets available, so if it's not too late, you can grab a ticket and join me at 3 p.m. this Sunday, the 26th of June. You can find those tickets by jumping on my website, drybutwet.com.au. If you're not already following me on Instagram, do, because all of my reviews and everything gets siphoned through there. So that's dry_butt_wet. And there you will find all of your non-alcoholic drinks reviews, everything that you need is there all in one place, and as well as blogs around sobriety and events that are coming up and all of the other services that I offer at Dry But Wet. So thank you. Thanks for checking in with me. Cheers. Cheers, cheers, cheers. Happy Friday, and I will talk to you soon.